That's the sound of a fierce mixed doubles tennis match between two American teams at the Olympics. On one side of the net, Venus Williams and Rajiv Ram. And on the other, Bethany Maddox-Sands and KCK's Jack Sock. The winners will bring home the gold. Jack Sock graduated from Blue Valley North High School. He already picked up a bronze medal in Rio in the men's doubles. And then, in the third tiebreaker set on Sunday, this happened.
Bethany Maddox-Sands and Jack Sock win gold in Rio.
That was a great victory for the local star, but Jack Sock's victory makes him just one of several Kansas Cityans with strong showings at the Olympic Games, which continue through this weekend. This morning, KCUR sports reporter Greg Eklund is here to give us a progress report. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Brian. Nothing against KCK, but Jack Sock is a Blue Valley North graduate and lives in Overland Park.
We did say Blue Valley North, but he lists his residence on his bio on his website as Kansas City, Kansas, so that's where that came from.
I think the ATP erred in that.
I see. Well, how about that, Jack Sock? What did you think of him in this game, in this series?
Brian, do you remember our last conversation on these airwaves before the Olympics began?
I do. Remind everybody, though, who may not listen to our every word.
Well, we had chatted about who among the local Olympians perhaps had the potential to be the brightest star at the Olympics in Rio.
And you, Greg Eklund, said
Jack Sock.
And look at the prophetic wisdom of Greg Eklund, KCUR sports reporter. And he really did look fantastic, not only in that mixed doubles match, but also in his men's doubles match where he took a bronze.
Absolutely. With his partner, Steve Johnson. Jack is ranked 23rd in the world. His partner, Steve Johnson, is ranked 22nd in the world. They beat, interestingly enough, one of the partners on the other side of the net was from Canada, Vashik Pospisil. Normally, when Jack is on the ATP World Circuit, Vashik Pospisil is one of his doubles partners. That's who he combined to win doubles 2 years ago at Wimbledon. And now in the Olympics, he was on the other side of the net for the bronze medal match, and Jack won that.
Yeah, that is interesting. When you compete with someone, when your partner is someone from a different country, your team gets broken up in the Olympics, right?
Absolutely. Obviously, for international reasons. Everyone represents their own country. Fortunately for the United States, Jack and Steve Johnson were on the same side.
Let's unpack your now fulfilled prediction about Jack Sock a little bit. I mean, he had an amazing run at Blue Valley North as a tennis player, right?
He did. And it's interesting to note that Jack's older brother, Eric, went to the University of Nebraska and was part of a team at the University of Nebraska on the tennis team. And Jack always had that team concept within him. And even though he's very good at singles, as the ranking displays, he excels or seems to excel in a team situation. Earlier this year in international play, Jack was part of Davis Cup competition when the United States beat Australia to reach the quarterfinals. They ultimately lost to Croatia when Jack started undergoing health problems, which carried over into the early round match in Rio. But he seems to do his best when he's playing doubles.
Yeah, and why would that be? Is it just a different skill set?
I don't know, but I think there's something about that team concept. He really enjoys playing doubles, and I think it's not so much. I think even though he's, as I mentioned, a very good singles player, there's something about him teaming up with somebody and being part of a team that really gets him going.
You mentioned that he was actually sick at the start of these Olympic Games, and that seems to have affected his performance as a singles player as well.
Absolutely. He was diagnosed with walking pneumonia prior to the Olympics, but
that is bad timing.
From what I understand, this was something he did not want to miss. He was part of the opening ceremonies, which was very meaningful, and from what I understand, and he ended up losing his opening round singles match. So the Olympics could have easily fizzled, but he had enough time to gather himself, obviously, to excel later in the week in both mixed doubles and doubles.
He is well-known and well-liked, is my impression, around around the tennis circuit. There was a viral video of his sportsmanship on display last January, where he went ahead and told his opponent that he should appeal a call that was out because it really was in.
Yeah, I would say that, I could tell you from firsthand experience that I think the pros, his peers, like him, respect him. A popular player on the circuit. I was down in Houston earlier this year when I had a chance to chat with Jack just before the Clay Court Championships down there, and he was involved with a lot of non-court activities in conjunction with the event, had very much a lot of fun, and lends himself to some causes when the situation presents itself. And I think he is generally well-liked by his peers.
He's only 23 years old, too.
Yeah.
Do you think he's on the rise, or is he going to rise in the world rankings as his career goes along?
Yeah. When you talk about some of the great tennis players, some of them seem to reach their peak in that age bracket, and much in other sports, between that 25 to 30 range, and I think he's very much on the upswing with his career.
Well, so we'll keep our eyes open for Jack Sock, who comes home and has left Rio, I understand now, with a gold medal and with a bronze medal, too. One of the folks we also talked about when you were here before the Olympics, Greg, is someone who we got a chance to talk with on Central Standard, and that's Zach Garrett, part of the U.S. archery team. Turns out he had a decent Olympics, right?
He did. He was part of a silver medal when the U.S. team in archery won the team competition. He did not fare as well in individual matches, but only because he was beaten by his own countrymen, who ended up getting a medal. But Zach Garrett, I think, is an athlete who is, again, on the rise. This was his first Olympic experience. He's in his early 20s. If this is something that he is interested in continuing, and all indications are that it is, I think he has a chance to return to the Olympics in 2020.
He's from tiny Wellington, Missouri, just east of town, a little ways. It's interesting that he had to go up against his teammate, as you say, when that is an unusually, maybe not unusual for Olympic athletes, but they are very close. They train together basically full time out there in San Diego, and here he was having to go up against him for elimination.
It was in the round of 16, so obviously he was moving closer and closer to possibly getting a medal in individual competition. His opponent was more experienced, an Olympic veteran, had previously made a trip to the Olympics. I don't know, maybe the experience won out, but I'm not alone in thinking that maybe it would have been better if someone from another country had beaten him other than his own countrymen to advance in the competition, but that's the way it worked out.
It's interesting life these athletes have, and maybe we can talk about Zach as just one example of that. He basically sits and trains full-time, and it's that is his job. It must be an interesting life. What happens after the Olympics for these folks, which includes several Kansas Cityans who now go back to a life of training, and there's no Olympics for another 4 years?
There isn't. So what they do is they live in the areas where the training centers are. In the case of archery, I believe it's in Chula Vista,
That's California,
outside San Diego. And what they do is they hold part-time jobs while they train. For instance, I was in Colorado Springs a few years ago when there was a local weightlifter who was training in Colorado Springs, and ran into some people who had part-time jobs at the local Home Depot while they were training for the next round of competition, which is not necessarily just the Olympics. There are events that take place through the calendar year and that lead into respective world championships for their sport in the years that lead up to the Olympics.
Not everyone gets multi-million dollar endorsement deals. Some of them work at Home Depot.
That's true.
There are, of course, other Kansas City area athletes who have competed or are still competing at the Games, a lot of them in track and field, it seems like. Eric Kennard is one of those.
I think Eric Kennard is probably disappointed this morning because in London he got a silver medal, and I think all the intentions of returning to Rio this year were to go there and come back with a gold. He finished in sixth place last night, which I I have to feel is a huge disappointment for him because he's one of the best in the world at the high jump, and to come home sixth has got to be a letdown.
He is a very talented high jumper. Obviously, he's in the Olympics. How high can he jump? How high has he jumped?
Over 7 feet. It's best illustrated through a video that was out there a couple of years ago when K-State had a basketball player who was 7 feet tall, and Eric Kennard jumped over the 7 foot basketball player to to display his ability to leap.
I'm just as impressed with the 7 foot basketball player being willing to stand still and trust that someone can actually jump over you.
And he did not get a foot in the face on the way down.
Also competing in track and field, someone we've talked about here, Courtney Frericks from Nixa, Missouri, and of course a UMKC athlete.
And this is someone again who is very young. She's only 23 years old, plans to continue her training career for her respective sport and track and field. She's going to move to Oregon. She's going to train with a track club up there, a reputable track club. So I think she is also targeting 2020 for Tokyo, and so she'll be training for events on the calendar year because she didn't get a medal, but by finishing 11th in the 3,000-meter steeplechase and reaching the finals in the steeplechase is a great step forward for her.
Absolutely. Another person we've talked about, in fact, you had a report last week on Morning Edition about Mason Finley, who throws the discus. He was hoping for big things.
He was. Well, he reached the final, which was a big step for him.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, nobody even expected him to reach the Olympics. He had been battling some back problems the last couple years, but after losing some weight, he was down from over 400 pounds to about 350.
Well, I need to find out his diet.
That's right. He had a good nutritionist, I guess, but he got himself in among the best in competition. Where his future lies is uncertain because his real passion is theater. So I don't know if he's going to continue to compete. He had stated previously that this was going to be his one and only Olympic Games, but that remains to be seen.
Does he have some leads on theater options?
Well, he did have a role as a bar bouncer in a movie that was shot in Lawrence just in the last few weeks or so. So, he may be typecast, but he's ready for whatever role comes his way.
That's great. What a great story. Another track and field competitor was Amy Craig in the marathon.
Yeah, Amy is from Leavenworth, and she had qualified for the Olympics this year. I don't know what Amy's future is because she had previously been a distance runner before she converted to being a marathon and qualifying for the Olympics in the marathon. As you've seen, there are great marathon runners all around the world, but becoming a champion as an American in the marathon is not out of the question. Some have done it, but Amy Craig is among those who she's an Olympian. She didn't come back with a medal, but she did some great things.
Greg, do the Olympics feel like, and pardon the expression, a field day for you? You are a public radio sports reporter. You don't cover results day in and day out. You're always about telling stories, and the Olympics are a place that are all about the stories behind the athletes.
Well, one of the great things about the Olympics from my point of view is that there are athletes who are not what you would refer to as mainstream athletes, who have a great story to tell.
Right, a 350-pound discus thrower who wants to have a career in theater.
Absolutely. Or, a guy from the small town of Wellington, Missouri, who's trying to make it as a world champion in archery.
Who got a bow from his grandfather when he was 4 years old.
There are some great stories about that.
Do you think there are other stories that we have yet to hear from Olympics?
We're just scratching the surface. And a lot of it, again, will be because everything, if they continue competition, leading into the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, we're going to hear their names on the competitive level for the next few years, and finishing well, and some stories are yet to be told and will be told.
We still have a few events left, too. We shouldn't pretend like the Olympics are over. There's still 4 or 5 days left. Who do we have yet to see from the Kansas City area?
Well, Jaden Cox, not from the immediate Kansas City area, but he's from Columbia. He went to MU, and he's a wrestler, and he will begin competition this Saturday in the wrestling competition in Rio.
One more that I remember we talked about at some point, Lydia Patterson mm-hmm. out of Piper High School.
Yeah, she's only 19 years old. I don't know what her ambitions are. She attends the University of St. Mary in Leavenworth, a first-time Olympian. She didn't get a medal, but again, if she has the talent on the world level to do what she has already accomplished, I think the future is bright for her if she seeks to continue to do this.
Greg, we're talking for the rest of the program today about how Brazil is faring as an Olympics host, especially in the eyes of Kansas City Brazilians here who live here, have lived here in some cases for a generation. What's your impression of how Brazil looks to the world after these couple weeks?
I think they're... As to anything, there are two sides to the story. Obviously, it's a beautiful, picturesque city with some great views and what appear to be some great beaches. But on the other side, you know, there are safety concerns. I mean, we saw what happened with Ryan Lochte and a few other swimmers right. when they thought that they were secure in on a taxi ride. But
held up at gunpoint.
It held up at gunpoint, sadly. And there were other environmental issues there. So overall, I think the Olympics have been presented well. I think NBC has done a pretty good job at showing some of the, you know, the great views of Rio. But we know behind the scenes that there is the other side of that story, that there have been some problems there.
Well, that's KCUR's Greg Eklund, our sports reporter, giving us his take on not only the Brazil Olympics in general, but specifically how Kansas City athletes are doing. Greg, thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome, Brian.
Always good to see you. When we come back, we'll get another local perspective on these Olympic Games. There are thousands of Kansas Cityans with Brazilian heritage, some who have spent a lot of their lives there or who have family there now. What are they thinking when they see Rio and Brazil on the world stage in all its glory and its grit? We'll find out when KCUR Central Standard continues.